Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today our focus is going to be Yoel Perek Beis, the second chapter of Yoel, which brings us up to halfway through the Sefer. It is a Perek of 27 Psukim, and we can look at it in three separate sections. Again, we're in the context of Yoel describing a terrible plague of locusts which is coming to the nation of Israel, whether it is literal or whether it is metaphoric. We're describing a terrible calamity which is coming to Klal Yisrael. And in the first section of our perek today, which moves from Pasuk Aleph all the way through Pasuk Yud Dalet, this is a call again to fasting, a call to teshuva because of the terrible things that are going on. The second section we're going to see is going to be a second call of danger, which starts with very similar words, tikul shofar, blow the shofar, the horn. And finally, the last stage of this perek, which runs from Sukkim Yud Ches to the end, is a reassurance of comfort of Nechama, which is going to happen at the end. So let's deal with each section independently over here. The first one that is worth noting is the first section from Aleph all the way through Yud Dalet. This section is in which he talks about blowing Tikur Shofar B'tzion V'ariyu B'har Kodshi, blowing the horns. This is the way they would announce calamities or emergencies. In those days, they would go to the city center and they'd blow the horn. This would be the alarm siren, essentially, and everybody would come together. Why? Because what's happening is this really apocalyptical description of Yom Choshech V'afela, Yom Anan V'arafel, Kashachar Parus Al Heorin. This is darkness, this day of darkness is coming, which is going to spread over the mountains. Amrav atzum komoyu lo niya min ha'olam, v'acharav lo yasef shnei dor vador. There's going to be this darkness which will descend, a multitude of nations which will come and descend when never has been seen before in this way. And there's going to be a fire which will destroy everything. There's going to be images of horsemen coming. There's going to be the sounds of chariots, all just terrible descriptions over here. And each person will fall upon themselves. Ish achiv lo yidchakun gevim b'sirasov yeleichun v'ada shelach yipolu v'lo yivotzol. There's going to be calamity. There's going to be chaos internally. Everything's going to fall about. There's going to be danger in the windows is going to be found. This is such a powerful description of Hashem placing his power against the nation of Israel. V'gamatan u'm Hashem in pasuk yud beis, and so Hashem's speech is shuvu adai b'chol vavchem uvetzon uvechi uvemisped. The response you're supposed to have is turn to me, return to me, with fasting, with crying, and with eulogizing. Kiru levavchem v'al bigdeichem, tear your hearts and not your clothes. Meaning, don't show outer signs of contrition, of return, but the inside is still the same. Tear yourselves internally, v'shuvu el Hashem elokeichem, and return to Hashem, ki chanun v'rachum hu, erech hapayim v'ra chesed, v'nicham al ra'o, and he's going to change and is going to comfort over the evil if you are to do such. That's the first section of this section in Tanakh. What is most noteworthy over here is that when you look at the descriptions of armies and chariots and horses, the Mefarshim are going to again be split down the middle as to whether we're talking about any continued description of the Arbe, of this terrible locust swarm, or is this no? That is the metaphor of the locust swarm now talking about the real armies that it is representing, which are coming in. This is seems to be the split between the Abarbanel and on the one side and the many of the other Mefarshim on the other. What is curious is that right into the next section, it starts with almost the same words. Tikul shofar b'tzion in pasuk tesvav, kadshu tzom v'kiru atzara. Call, make for yourself a fast day, and call a stopping day, call a day of cessation of work to focus on teshuva. And again, he talks about everybody comes to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody should come to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody should be fasting, everybody should be crying between the Mizbeach and calling out to Hashem. So this is a much shorter section, but it seems to be a repetition of what we just read. Why do we need the first section of this perek, which is from Aleph to Yud Dalet, and almost an identical section, Tes Vav to Yud Zayin afterwards? So the Radak says, and this is famously in the Mefarsh Pshat, he would say that really it is, he says this is Kefel Ha'inyan B'Milois Shonos. This is the same issue, it is being emphasized, and therefore it is being said in a similar way again and again and again to emphasize that this is coming, to emphasize the power and the danger of this episode. However, the Abarbanel says no. If you look at this perek, the first section is the first shofar blow, the first warning signs are about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and the second warning signs are the ones about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So you're talking about two discrete moments in history. Abarbanel, obviously understanding the locust plague was simply metaphoric, and now the descriptions are real about real armies and real episodes in history which are occurring with armies of men, not just locusts. Whereas Abarbanel says that what's happening over here is we're talking about, the first parak was talking about the locust plague. That was what we learned in the first section. Now we are talking about a level of, as the locust plague is arriving, the first section of this parak is, please call out to people to do teshuva now. And the second section here in Pasuk Tesvav is once the plague is already devastated and people feel that they're going to give up hope. So now, says the Malbim, it is time for people to realize that there's still an opportunity to pray. So the sequence would be the plague is coming, the plague is arriving, and the plague has happened, which accounts for Perek Aleph, the first half of Perek Beis, and the middle section of Perek Beis, in the way the Malbim looks at this. And then, miraculously, from Yud Ches onwards, we now turn to comfort. And it's interesting that this section in the Perek is part of the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. Although when we open up the Chumashim, we hear one Haftarah for Shabbos Shuvah. It is actually drawn from three separate Sifrei Svarim and Nach. Where the first one is Hoshea and the last Perek, Perek Yodalad. And the second section is from us, from Yoel Perek Beis. Obviously the idea of trying to elicit Teshuvah is very much the part of the theme of Shabbos Shuvah, but it also talks about how Hashem is going to take us back, Hashem is going to redeem us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes very powerfully, Vayekanei Hashem la'artsoi, Vayachmol al amo, is going to take vengeance on his land, he's going to have chemlo, he's going to have pity on his people. Vayan Hashem v'yomar, hineni, sholeach lochem es adagon atirosh vayitzar usvatem osoy v'lo yeten eschem od cherpa bagoyim. I'm going to bring back your grain, I'm going to bring back your oil and your wines, and you're going to be satiated, and you'll no longer be a disgrace among the nations. Vesatzifoni harachika me'alechem, I'll distance the tzifoni from you. And a long description of how you will be satiated, your animals will be satiated, you'll eat fully, up to fullness, and Hashem will be with you. Yidatem ki bekerv Yisrael ani, you'll know that I am among Israel, v'ani Hashem lakechem, v'ein oid lo yavoy shami lo'olam, my people will never be embarrassed, will never be left alone again. It is interesting to know that all the terms of redemption and salvation have to do with the plentiful grain, which obviously makes sense, because if the metaphor or the actual circumstance of danger was one where the arbe, the locust, consumed all the grain, then of course the salvation is going to be an expression of plenty, which makes a lot of sense. Who is this tzifoni in Pasuk Chof that Hashem is distancing from us? So Ibn Ezra says, well, the antagonist in this whole section over here was the locusts. So that's what it's referring to. The Tzifoni is the locusts which are blown in by a northerly wind, which comes to the word Tzafon. Now, Abarbanel views this as a historical description of the different nations who are going to attack us, believes that the Tzifoni is a specific nation. In this case, it is Assyria who took the northern ten tribes into exile, and that's how Hashem is going to remove it. However, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Menun Beis Amud Beis has a fascinating description. The Gemara is describing how the Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, has seven names in Tanakh, and the name that Yoel gives it is Hatzafuni, which means the one who is hidden. We have these hidden indulgences, hidden inclinations, which want and wish for certain things in our lives, and we're not able to do it. Or perhaps we're able to hold off, but sometimes we're not able to. So this is referring not to an external battle that we're fighting, but rather an internal battle which is going on over here. What you see over here is one last thing which is interesting, and that is what is the catalyzing moment? What allows Hashem to turn around and to answer our prayers? What is it that we did that suddenly warrants this outpouring of favor, this outpouring of geula, of redemption that we're seeing? So ultimately, the Radak says is that, well, that's exactly what happened in between. there was first the locust plague coming, and then Yoel turns in no less than three separate sections and says, fast and pray. You put on sackcloth and ask Hashem for forgiveness. So this is the outcome. If you listen to me, if you're going to pray for me, then you're going to get the response. And yes, there will be ultimately a redemption. That's what triggers it. There is an interesting point to notice, and that is it might not be based on our merit necessarily, but at the very beginning of this immediate section in Pasuk Yud Ches, it actually starts, Vayakhaneh Hashem la'artzoi vayachmol al amoy. First, he takes vengeance for his land, and then for he has chemla on his people. He has mercy on his people, which is interesting. That means that ultimately there is going to also be another part of this equation, that's the land of Israel, which has been laid desolate. And perhaps the starting point of the return process is with the land itself, perhaps not even us, deserve to have restoration, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. And whether it be the metaphoric or it be the personified Chagavim, the plague of locusts, which has decimated, whether it be the enemies or the actual locusts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to the land deserves it, and by it, in turn, we too will follow. This closes the second perek of Sefer Yoel. This closes the first section of Yoel. The last two prakim deal primarily with the enemies of Israel and the more apocalyptic end of days. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.